So in Vermont, you've heard some of the news that they have passed a bill that puts them on the road to single payer. So there's two things to talk about. One is the policy of what's in the bill, and the other is the movement. I find the movement part more interesting. In preparation to going back to Vermont, I read the Vermont legislation. It's 142 pages in this binder. And I've read the California bill many times, so most of this, what I'll be talking about, is a comparison. I will flat out state that the California legislation is much further along than the Vermont legislation. The Vermont legislation is kind of a timeline that says we're going to go to single payer by 2017, maybe 2014 if we get some waivers from the federal government. And as you go through, there's a lot of stuff in there about protecting against people from drug companies or stuff being part of the commission that'll run the system. But it's kind of a timeline. They say things like by on January 2013, we'll have an idea of how we're going to pay for this. Or they'll put another date in there and say, by this date in, I'm making this up, July 2013, we'll have a report back from who we appoint to the commission to say what's in going to be a covered benefit of our new law. So there's a lot of timeline stuff. In California, we've hashed this out for 8 years in the legislature, and it's been debated many times, what should be in the bill, what should not be in the bill. And so we in California, we can list a set of benefits that will be delivered with our single-payer program. Vermont cannot do that yet. We have language in our bill of who's to be covered. Some of that's still to be figured out in Vermont. They passed this bill, I believe it was June 4th. I think I'm wrong. I'll stumble across my notes here and make sure I'm right. Maybe it was May 26th. And then as they were leading up to that, some legislator in Vermont wanted to put an amendment in the bill to only allow it to be for citizens and legal residents. So the movement in Vermont, so they already had the first fight on this question, and the movement in Vermont went out and went after these a couple legislators who were putting this thing forth, and they got that amendment to this piece of legislation withdrawn within a week. So they have a stronger movement. Oh, and here, let's picture California and Vermont, okay? What, California, we got like 38 million people, and Vermont has 600,000, okay? So it's like three-quarters the size of San Francisco, all right? So it's a little different. They have 150 people in their house. They have two houses. They have 150 people in their house and 30 people and 30 senators. So you divide 150 people by 600,000, and it means that they're their next-door neighbor, and everybody, everybody has everybody's phone number in Vermont. It's a tight little place. And they do some other weird things that I don't quite understand, is that they have two assembly people or House members from 42 districts, and they have one from House member from 64 districts. It's just a little different than we have Senator Mark Leno here, right? He represents 900,000 people. That's more people than are in the state of Vermont. It's just a little different scale of what's going on here, okay? So they have a history. So let me go through some of the history, and let me compare it with some of the history that we've done in this state. They have a number of groups in their state, and they sometimes work together, and they sometimes try to outbrag each other on who's got the best policy. This happens in California, too. There's a number of big players in California, and they all have their different strategies. And it's been going on for years in Vermont, and it's been going on for years here. Okay, so who knows, who's ever heard of Nick Petras? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, 8. And so what was he famous for in terms of this movement? Well, he introduced single-payer legislation in 1991 in the state of California. Okay, and busloads of people used to go up to the legislature and so forth. It didn't pass. But you could say maybe that was the beginning of the single-payer movement here, if you want to use that. Well, the same thing happened in Vermont. In 1992 in Vermont, there were 50 town halls. They have these things called town halls. They all happen on the same day in Vermont every year, where people can go and they bring up any issue. And in 1992, 50 town halls passed non-binding resolutions for single-payer health care. So there was a history of this whole, you know, it's got a history to it. It just didn't happen there's one group that'll say, you know, we've been working on this since 2008 in Vermont, and because of us, we're winning, you know, as histories to these things.
How many, you said 50 out of what?
I don't know.
Okay. I just wondered if that was a large percentage of whatever segment.
Yeah, I would assume it is, but because there's only 600,000. What if you had 50 town halls in San Francisco? It'd be like, we'd be in, you know, but they're geographically spread apart and this and that. So I don't know that. So we had, you know, we had, and then in California in 94, we had our initiative process where we put it on the ballot. In California, and we lost. We only got 27% of the vote. We won in San Francisco, and we won in the city of Berkeley. Other than that, we lost every place. But that was part of the movement building where a lot of people got to know a lot of other people in this state. I mean, that's where I cut my teeth on this movement. It was in 1993-94 when we had the Proposition 186. And I was the Northern California speaker trainer for the movement. And learned, you know, got to know people all over the state, and then some of us hung in there. I mean, we were either thick-headed or stupid or persistent, whatever we want to say, you know. Okay, so in 93, there was a movement in the House and the Senate in Vermont, and then Governor Dean wasn't fond of this, so it didn't go any further than that. He wouldn't sign the thing. There's about four groups I'm going to intertwine here in Vermont. There's the Vermont Citizens Campaign for Health, and they were mostly responsible for the movement back in 1992. It's headed up by a guy named Richard Davis. Now today it's shrunk a little bit, his group, and it's more just in the southern part of the state in a town called Brattleboro. But if you ever go on the internet to the Vermont Citizens Campaign for Health, he writes a weekly column on this stuff. I know he's been in this movement for a long time, I'm doing things on this stuff. Then there's the PNHP, the Physicians for National Health Program, and they've been, their main spokeswoman is a doctor named Deb Richter. She moved to Vermont in 1999 from Buffalo, New York. She figured, well, New York's too big. I can't be as effective here. So she moved to Vermont in 1999 with the idea of just setting up practice right in the state capitol. And I think it's Montpelier. I'm not saying this right, but right, that's right. I would all. And it's about 30 miles south of Burlington. And she set up her, she, you know, she moved into a house a block away from the state capitol. And just decided, hey, I'm going to conquer this state. So she's given about, in the last, 12 years, she's given about 500 speeches on single-payer health care in Vermont. And she's very good. She's very effective. She targets business and health professionals. That's her main audience. Now, she'll talk to anybody, but that's who she thinks is really important in this battle. Okay. So she's been churning up the waves in Vermont for a long time on this question. There's the AFL-CIO in Vermont. How many members do you think are in the AFL-CIO in Vermont? How much?
That's low.
That's close, though.
10,000.
There you go. They have 10,000 people. So that's close to, like, what, SEIU 1021 in San Francisco? Something like that? Arla, isn't that what's your membership?
How many there are?
I think we're close. They may have more people out in the, you know, Modesto area and stuff, but I think in San Francisco they get around 10,000 votes in the San Francisco Labor Council. So that's the whole state federation of labor. And there's a woman who heads that up named Jill Charbonneau. And she's quite active in this thing. You know, I was just, about an hour and a half ago, I was on the phone with Deb Richter, and I said, tell me about Jill Charbonneau. Is she very active? She said, oh, yeah, she's full of energy. She's always out there doing things. So I said, my prejudicial view of labor is they kind of go, yes, we're on board, but generally that's about as far as they go. You know, the Labor Council gives us some free printing, and then the California Nurses Association does some stuff. But in general, they'll vote yes now, but they don't. You know, they don't put a whole lot of work in. Apparently, she's been out there stirring her troops and doing lobbying and so forth. The other group that's active in Vermont is it's called the Vermont Workers Center. This is one of their T-shirts, and they have a whole different organizing approach. They try to go out and get more like working class, poorer people involved in the struggle. And they frame their stuff. I wouldn't really call them a single-payer group. In fact, when they spoke, they said, we're not necessarily for single-payer. We're just for healthcare as a human right, just for that value. It's a good way to organize. And so they'll say that straight up on this question. But every year, every May Day, they have like 1,000 or 1,500 people who rally at the state capitol for healthcare as a human right. And they have people around the state. And one of their people now is going to come out here and tour, and will be in San Francisco on October 22nd. That's why I asked about your meeting, at 10 o'clock in the morning. They'll be on a tour with Donna Smith from Sicko, who was in the movie Sicko. She was the woman who went to, I don't know, how many people here saw Sicko? Jesus, everybody almost, okay. You know, she was the poor woman who had to go live in her, what, in-laws, Denver apartment that was all cluttered with electronic equipment and stuff. Anyway, she's very good. And so she'll be out here with this guy named James Haslin from the Vermont Workers Center.
What day of the week is that?
It's a Saturday at 10 o'clock in the morning. Larilla, say a sentence about yourself.
I'm a loud mouth
activist. There we go. I didn't see you sneak in, but I recognize your voice. Okay, so
is James Haslin and somebody else?
Donna Smith from Sicko. You'll talk about this tomorrow at your CARA, California Alliance Retired Americans meeting.
Well, that's why I want to know now.
Oh.
She's also on the nurses, whole nurses organization for single payer.
Yeah. Right. I don't know if people heard that. She's in the Progressive Democrats of America and the California Nurses Alliance, but nationally they call themselves the National Nurses Organizing Committee. Right, so she'll be out here, but James is kind of the featured guy, and it'll be a fundraiser, so people will be asked to bring their, you know, donate money so they can keep their work going on this question. All right. Let me look at my timeline here a little bit. In 2005, they had passed some legislation, but it got vetoed. I'm sorry?
By the governor or the Senate?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Was that Dean? No.
I think there was, I'm not sure. In 2006, they tried it again, but it failed. They passed, I don't quite understand this. This will be a better question for James Haston when he comes out here. They passed a single-payer hospital bill. So if you went to the hospital, somehow you were paid. But everything out of hospital is not paid. 2008, they started...
That did pass? And was,
yes.
And was in effect?
I guess so, yes.
That's
2006? Yes. So,
Medicare Part A for all.
I guess so. That's a snappy demand to go marching around with, right? We want A. We want A. Right, there we go. In 2008, they commissioned to have a study to look at how they would pay for this thing. And in 2010, they had this fellow from Harvard, William Shao, who came up with a study, and it had three different options in it. But it's sort of like we had a study here in California in 2008, 9, 10. We had some studies going. And we had nine different variations you could look at. He came up with three variations of it you could look at. But there, you know, some would include Medicaid and include Medicare, and some wouldn't, and some would allow little fringes to little insurance companies to exist on the side. That question has not been settled, what their final product will be look like. That's to be determined.
We should say that Shaw also set up the single-payer system in Taiwan.
William Shao set up a single-payer system in Taiwan.
He was instrumental.
Yes, very good. No, it's seen as a worldwide really big success. So based upon that, then they had a gubernatorial election in. They have them in even years, and in the 2010 election. Since people have been doing all this work for years, okay, this isn't just an overnight thing. Even though I'm wearing a Vermont Worker Center, they'll say that, don't you dare say this when he comes in. They'll say, since we jumped into the fray in 2008, people have been studying for years to do this, but it was our great leadership with bringing all the people on board that pushed it over the top, you know. Well, that's one way to look at it, and there's other people who have different views of what they've been doing. I mean, you can't discount Deb Richter, who's given 500 speeches in a state of 600,000 for the last 12 years and can walk into the state capitol and knows every legislator by their first name and is their doctor to a few of them on this question. So, and then I'll say this. Then there's some people who don't like Deb Richter because she relates so much to business. And then, so they had a gubernatorial campaign, and somehow it ended up most of the gubernatorial candidates started talking about single payer, like this is a good thing, and so there's some people that think, you know, there's different ways to look at this. There's some people in Vermont who say, this is great, we want them over, and then there's other people in this movement, mostly the guy Davis from. Richard Davis from the southern part of the state, who says this was pure cynicism on the part of Governor Shumlin. He used the single-payer movement. He knew that if he gave words of this stuff, that they would get behind him and vote for him, and so he was always doing that. So there's different views on this, you know. Then if you ask the Vermont Worker Center, what's your relationship to Governor Shumlin, they go, we like to keep him worried. It's like they don't have a, you know, they don't care so much about their relationship. What they care about is mobilizing people. In some ways, single payer now is a little bit like that. We're out trying to reach a lot of people, although we aren't so, you know, we aren't anti-business, but we're just trying to get a lot of people involved in this thing. So in some ways, we're the closest group to the Vermont Worker Center, although except we have the caveat of we are for single payer. In this question, Deb Richter from PNHP will say the crucial thing we have going for us is Governor Shumlin. We have a Governor Shumlin who's for this thing. So she'll take that tact. And at the signing of the bill, she was on stage with him. And, you know, she sat down at the desk. You know, I don't know what they do. They have 30 pens and everyone gets to sign a little bit or something. So she was one of the signees of the bill. I don't know in what role, but as a... Anyway, she was up there on stage with him and, you know, said a few words, and we'll never have to worry about health care again once this goes through and stuff. And then there's other people in the movement there who dislike her for, like, sucking up so much to the governor. Same thing's going to happen in this state, okay? It's the same things. It's just, that's just, there's different points of view of how to push this thing. And so the Worker Center folks, so I ask them, so what's your role with coalitions in this state? He says, well, we work on a number of issues, so at different times when we work on other issues, people come around and do things. But we found it more advantageous to not spend our time working in other coalitions, but to spend our time working with ourselves, building our own movement. Okay? And then Deb Richter, and who will sit at the same table, and they were both there on Sunday morning, she'll say, yes, we coordinate sometimes so we don't run it cross conflicts, but they both openly admit they have a little different constituencies they're aiming at, and they go their own ways, and they seem, and they kind of got this little happy little, I don't know what you call it, happy little relationship they got going between them, okay? And I will say this, the October 22nd meeting here, not in this hall, but in San Francisco, with James Haslin, it's part of a campaign of this new grouping in California called the Campaign for Healthy California, okay? And they're trying to kick off coalitions around the state to get things going for a possible initiative in 2014. So, so that'll be part of that, the message of those meetings. We'll help build those things. In fact, maybe I should do this now, is send this. We're going to have a mailing party on Friday, October 14th, and Saturday, October 15th at Barry Hermanson's house. The address is on here. Donna, can you take this and if people can help with this mailing, this will be most helpful, because we'll be putting out a mailing for that. So that'll be part of those meetings for when they bring, well, okay, so on the October 26th, they'll bring James Haslin around, and we'll help build those meetings.
22nd.
The 22nd, I'm not sure what I said. The 22nd of October, yes.
And you said that's to build a coalition toward getting an initiative?
Yeah.
On the ballot, a coalition like of all...
Of anybody who want, of any groups that want to be in it in the various counties.
Is that for single-payer health?
Yes, it is. Yes.
I just wondered, of the ones you normally associate with and everything, do they think 2014 is the time to, I'm just wondering if...
That's a tentative date, okay? There's some benchmarks that are being used in that thing, things like... can you get 5 unions who make this one of their top 3 priorities? Can you get $50 million? Can you get 10,000 precinct workers 2 years out in advance? There are certain benchmarks. I think they're, to me, those are reasonable benchmarks. And we'll see. But people, are thinking about doing that. There's some other legislative strategies at one point, people, maybe they still think this, that, they'll win Jerry Brown around to supporting single payer, and maybe he'll find some legislator who will introduce a bill, and that bill will then be passed, and then it'll be put on the ballot for, to be run, so it'll look like the governor's for it and so forth. I guess that would be nice. I don't have, I'm against closet. I'm not against. I don't believe in closet good guys. Until Jerry Brown says he's for something, or until any politician says they're open and for something, I don't believe they're for something. So on this question.